Turn to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter number 18. This is lesson number 24 in the subject of relationships. Relationships. The subject for tonight, if you will not salvage relationships unless you learn how to live the topic of tonight. If you want your marriage to remain strong and happy, then you'll have to get what I'm teaching tonight. Parents and children, your relationship will only stay strong and happy if you'll learn the concept of tonight. Within a church, if we don't learn what I'm going to teach tonight, you'll find yourself miserable in regard to your relationships in the church, and eventually you'll leave the church. And parents and children, if you don't get it, eventually you'll be separated from each other, uninterested in being around each other. Husbands and wives, if you don't get it, you'll end up divorced. You'll end up with a mess on your hands. And I'll tell you this, if God did not practice what I'm going to teach you tonight, you would go to hell. You would go to hell as a result of it. So it's very important that the lesson of tonight be a part of our thinking and our behavior. I've entitled the sermon tonight, Your Relationship with People Who Hurt You. Your Relationship with People Who Hurt You. Matthew chapter 18. Why don't you stand with me real quickly? Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse number 21. Matthew 18, verse number 21. The Bible says this, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. The sermon tonight is this, your relationship with people who hurt you. Or maybe a little shorter subtitle is this, forgiveness. Forgiveness. And let's pray. Father, help us tonight to be like you. God, I pray that we would leave here tonight stronger as Christians. And Lord, our relationships in life, might they be better because of what we learned tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 18, Peter came to Jesus and asked him this question. He says, How oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. And then Peter tries to answer his own question. Peter says, till seven times? And then Jesus answers. And Jesus says, no, Peter, your answer's wrong. And this is how he put it. I say not unto thee until seven times. So get the story. Jesus says, Peter comes to Jesus and said, well, if my brother sins against me, how often should I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said, no, seven times is not the right amount. Then Jesus gives the right answer to Peter's questions, and he uses these words, but until 70 times seven. Wow. Now, you understand, 70 times seven, that's a lot. That's 490 times. So he said, if someone sins against you, You forgive. You say, are you going to go all the way? No, but you get the point. And you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive. I think Peter's question was in regard to forgiving one person, by the way, not many. He uses the word, if thy brother, singular, have sins against you. Not brethren. He didn't say, if my brethren sin against me, or if my brothers, plural. He said, if a brother. My opinion is, y'all know anything about Peter's personality? He did get himself in a lot of pickles. And Peter's probably asking a question about one of the other disciples that he did a fuss with. saying, "Oh, you know, my brother hurts me. How many times should I forgive him?" Now, he didn't realize Jesus knew exactly who he was talking about. And Peter probably wasn't getting along with John, and he was trying to figure out with Jesus, how many times I got to put up with this rascal. But it was with an individual. That it's not a word of plurality. It was an individual. He said, if my brother, I also think that his suggested number of times to forgive, 7, signifies forgiving one person, not many people. Now, with that in mind, this is a reason it's an issue to us, because Jesus answers, and he answers about this forgiveness, and he says 490 times. And you say, well, why did you talk about it being one person? I think he's saying if one person sins against you, forgive him 490 times. How many of you, there are young people in here, you have a brother, you have a sister, you live at home with them. Do you think you would probably need to be able to forgive 490 times living with your brother or sister? Yeah, probably take more than that. I'm to forgive the same person 490 times. You say, should I keep track of it, Pastor? What do I do on number 491? The whole concept here, he's wanting you to perpetually be a forgiver. The word perpetual means ongoing without end. It's like your mother-in-law talks, perpetual. So the teaching here is an unending forgiveness, and the 490 is not the end of it. It was an outrageous example compared to Peter's 7. And I really believe the reason God put this in here is you and I, we tolerate up to 7 and then we've had it. And God's saying that's not even close to the way you're supposed to behave. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 11. It says in Mark 11, 25 and 26, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you for your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Let me explain something to you that I want some of you to understand. In this room, there are a lot of people. I think you're saved people. I think you're sincere people. I wonder how many of you really get your prayers answered. Now, I want to warn you about something. Here, the wording is, when you go to pray, you might want to make sure that you've forgiven people like you're supposed to forgive. If you look at the whole concept of the couple of verses, he's basically saying, if you won't forgive people, I'm not going to answer your prayers. There are people in here because you hold grudges and you won't forgive and you won't let the past go. You don't get your prayers answered like you should. But notice it says, if you won't forgive someone else, don't come to the altar and ask God to forgive you. He said, you want me to forgive you, but you won't forgive? God's making a little comparison here. And you know what he's hoping? He's hoping that that will prod you to say, well, then I better forgive because I certainly want forgiveness. Instead of you saying, well, I'm not going to forgive, so I'm going to quit praying. Well, isn't it amazing how we always want to go the wrong direction on God? And that's because God's ways are not man's ways. And God's wisdom is like not like man's wisdom. Folks, in a church like ours, I try to help us. You know, I think my opinion is it's probably best that you bathe, take a shower once a day. You say, well, I try to work it in once a week. Well, that's a little shy of what I would recommend. But now, do you know that you and I are far more dirty spiritually than we are physically? If everybody here would spiritually bathe once a day, like you take care of your body, but we're always interested in the flesh more than we're interested in the spirit. We're more conscious of the flesh than we are the spirit. But we got to stay clean. And if you don't stay clean in regard to your spiritual life, then you'll mess up your relationships in life. If we as individuals don't cleanse ourselves from things like revenge and bitterness. Now, let me explain. You know, bitterness is what you call in a casual, calm way, holding a grudge. God calls it bitterness if you use God's word for it. We got to keep ourselves clean of these things: revenge, bitterness, hurt feelings, pride, being critical with our mouths and in our hearts, being inappropriately judgmental. If you don't take care of those things, you'll self-destruct. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about your neighbor now. And it's so easy for someone to sit in a service where something's being taught and the husband's saying, "I hope my wife is listening right now." Or for the wife to say, "I hope my husband's listening right now." Or for the parent to say, "Well, I hope my children are listening right now. I hope my parents are listening right now." God was hoping you were listening right now. And while you were busy hoping everybody else was listening, God was hoping that you were listening. This thing of forgiveness is a big deal. You've got to learn to forgive and keep forgiving, or your relationships will be weak. And the depth of your relationships will be shallow. You say, "Well, how much?" If I'd let everybody explain it, you could use your own words. Jesus just said this 490 times, one person. But I don't think it stopped there. I don't think he thought you should take a piece of paper and a pen and be keeping track. Because some of you, you've already said it. "That's it. I've had it. I won't forgive anymore." Oh, you got to 490 and you said, "That is it. I fulfilled the commandment of Jesus." No, you missed it, because it was not 490. It was that was to be an outrageous thing in your thinking to get you to go all the way. I'm not talking about, and listen, and get this. I'm not talking about when you get mad wrongly. I'm talking about when you get mad or hurt and it was their fault. You say, "Well, it's easier to forgive when I was partially responsible." You need to learn to forgive when you're right and they're wrong. You say, "Well, why should I do that?" Well, then why should God do that for you? He was right and you were wrong. He was 100% right, and you were 100% wrong. You know what he did for you? He forgave you. How many times has God forgiven you? Do you think he's got a pen out, and he's got his 490 down, and he's going to do something to you after the 490? God is so holy, and we are so anemic in our concept of holiness. You sin against God dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times in a single day, and you don't even know you're doing. Because his holiness is far beyond our comprehension. We'll go to God and confess two sins in a day, and God say, "Not bad, but that's only about 2% of what you owe me." You say, "Well, not me, Pastor." Well, now you're guilty of another one, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. If you're faithful to our church, and you're the faithful crowd, Sunday morning, Sunday night, boy, you're here Wednesday night, I got to tell you, you'll have to learn how to forgive if you'll survive in the church. You say, "Why?" Because somebody here will hurt you. Somebody's going to mishandle your child. By the way, their kids were mishandled once too, or twice. Somebody's going to take your parking spot out in the church parking lot. They're going to take yours. They took your chair. You know, look, you're going to get hurt. You'll have to learn to forgive if you're going to survive it. Offenses will come. Someone will be mistreated. You say, "Pastor, are you for that?" No. I spend hours teaching on how to get along with people and how to do it. But it's going to happen. See, folks, imperfect humans that are dealing with imperfect humans are going to get hurt. May I remind you that you're one of those sinful humans too? So sinful, Jesus said, you need to be consciously aware of the need to forgive, and to forgive one person 490 times. Folks, we're sinful. We're made of clay. We're weak. We do things that frustrate others. You and I, we mistreat someone, and we're guilty of injustices. And hey, it's not just that somebody will hurt you. You hurt somebody too. We're very concerned about who hurts us. I think we ought to get more concerned about who we might be hurting. But forgiveness is what's going to pull this thing out of a tailspin in life. So we need to forgive instead of hating. We need to forgive instead of seeking revenge. We need to forgive and not strike back. We need to forgive and not become bitter. We need to forgive instead of trying to destroy someone. We need to forgive instead of wanting to avoid people because they hurt us. Forgive. Don't let that thing fester. Forgive. Don't run away. Forgive. Don't fight. Forgive. Don't be a backstabber. Forgive. Don't hide. Forgive. Don't attack. Forgive. Forgive. Don't sin. It's a sinful thing not to forgive. Did you know this? That in a lack of forgiveness, everybody loses. No forgiveness, no victory. You say, if I don't forgive, they'll be miserable. If you don't forgive, you'll be miserable. Matter of fact, the only person that for sure will be miserable if you don't forgive will be you. You say, Pastor, I'm mad at you and I'm not going to forgive you. Do you know what? I may sleep through the night anyway. But you will toss and turn as you're trying to figure out, how will I get that stupid Baptist preacher? How will I get him? Well, if you really want to torture me, make me a pie. I hate pie. Listen to this, folks, I promise you this, a lack of forgiveness contributes to high blood pressure. You let it go far enough, you'll give yourself a heart attack because of the stress that you put yourself through because you can't forgive. A lack of forgiveness contributes to nervous problems. A lack of forgiveness can cause ulcers. It'll upset your digestion. You ever seen two people get in a fuss and a fight and somebody doesn't forgive and the next thing you know, there's someone that's ill. They're ill over it. Why? Their emotions. The lack of the spiritual responsibility called forgiveness. A lack of forgiveness will cause depression, which can affect your weight, your sleeping. A lack of forgiveness will cause panic in your life. It'll cause insecurity and sleeplessness. Folks, listen. And we've got to hurry because this is just the introduction and I've got to get to the 18 points that I have. Now you need to forgive me if you're upset about this. Look, if God who is perfect can forgive, why can't we who are imperfect forgive? If God can forgive a drunkard and God's perfect, why can't you and I forgive? If God can forgive so many things, see, God's perfect, and God forgives. Wouldn't it make sense that those of us that are imperfect would forgive other imperfect people? And we're not to forgive until we're tired of it. 490 times is the way God put it. Here's what you've got to do. You've got to learn to form a habit of forgiveness. You know what it ought to be, if you're spiritual? It ought to be a race between the two of you to see who forgives the quickest instead of who can hold out the longest. Husbands and wives, it can be hilarious. They can fuss over something. It could be the stupidest little thing. And then we go into the stalemate. Who's going to apologize? Who's going to make the first move? Who's going to lighten up the cold shoulder? A lack of forgiveness is a waste of life. It's a waste of your time. Let me tell you, you want to be a part of an independent fundamental Baptist church for a long time, you will have to learn how to forgive or you won't last. You won't last. Now, let me get into the teaching of the lesson. First of all, let me say this. We have to realize, I think, what forgiveness is. And I've tried to word something and I want you to hear this. And I think what I'm about to say to you when I try to describe this forgiveness process, I think it'll make some sense to you, but listen. What is forgiveness? I think forgiveness is suffering for another person's wrong. It's bearing the penalty of another person's sin. Forgiveness chooses that self maybe hurts and suffers some. Forgiveness includes you paying the price for the sin or evil that someone else has brought upon you. See, the reason why some of you say, well, why should I forgive? They did the wrong. I know. But part of forgiveness is that you realize they did the wrong, and you're going to suffer a little bit, but you're willing to do that. You say, well, I believe in justice. Well, you believe in justice when it comes to how people treat you. You say, well, I want what I deserve. I wouldn't ever say that. If God ever listens in while you're throwing your fit that you just want treated the way you deserve to be treated, if God ever listens in and he says, you really want what you got coming? I'd be careful. Forgiveness is accepting some undeserved suffering. Somebody hurt me. Now, if I forgive, it just seems like, well, wait, they hurt me. There's something not right about that. Right. Now that you realize that, why don't you say, okay, I got hurt. I'm going to accept it. And I'm going to forgive. You say, but I got hurt. I know. Absolutely. Somebody else wronged you and you accept some suffering because of it. Somebody hurt you and you don't hurt back. And there's a little suffering, but you say, but I'm going to forgive. You say, well, why would anybody think that way? I don't know. Let's think about Calvary for just a moment. Jesus goes to a false trial. They lied about him. A mock trial before Herod, before Pilate. They scourged him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. Now, who is this? This is the sinless, perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. They stripped his clothes. So you all know the pictures that they show you have him covered, and they ought to have him covered in those pictures. But I believe he was humiliated when his clothes were taken away from him. That's what they did to him. 39 stripes. He bore his own cross up Golgotha's hill. He fell beneath the load. They drove nails in his hands and in his feet, and put a crown of thorns on his head, and plucked out his beard. Let me show you what he said. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, did he do anything wrong? No. Was wrong done to him? Yes. What did he do? He said, okay, I'll suffer the wrong, but my relationship with you is extremely important. So I'll forgive because my love for you is more important than the hurt that I have suffered. Now, some of you, this is almost over your head already. And I'm not talking because I'm teaching above you. It's because this living is above what you prefer. But this is still part of the Christian life. Someone says, well, I'll forgive if they'll come and ask for it. Now, listen, Bible forgiveness forgives before you're asked. Bible forgiveness forgives. God wants you to forgive people. You know, you're just hurting yourself if you don't. And folks, you'd be amazed at people that won't forgive, the looks on their faces and their attitudes about life, and it shows in their relationships. Brother Edwards, people that are not forgivers are not the ones that enjoy singing a bunch in church. Why? The joy of the Lord is being suppressed in your life. A lack of forgiveness can show in your health. It can show in your lack of productivity for God. So, you know, for the longest time when I studied the thought of forgiveness, I always said to myself, it seems like there's something here where somebody hurts me and I forgive. And I just about didn't want to accept the fact that that's what happened. But I came to the realization that they hurt me. And I'm saying, I'm not asking to be hurt. I'm not thanking you for hurting me, but I want to go on. I forgive you, and my relationship with you is more important than the hurt that has been inflicted upon me. And so if you say, well, isn't there an injustice? Yeah, I think so. I think so. But you, in the big picture, the real injustice was done against God, because we're just a bunch of filthy, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing sinners. I am and you are. And when we misbehave toward each other, it's not right. But that's not the big deal. The big deal is you and I sinned against God. And if He can forgive, I guess we could too. And why did God do it? He said, because my desire to have a relationship with you is more important to me than what you did to me. And I'll suffer because of what you did, but I'll forgive you because I love you. You say, do I forgive because of them? No, you forgive because of what you are, not because of what they are. You're not agreeing that what they did was right. You're doing what God said, which is to get above this thing. When they go low, we'll go high. That's what they said at the election, right? They're still going high, aren't they, right now? So, what is forgiveness? I think forgiveness has an element of you suffering because of somebody else's wrong. Let's go on. Secondly, we must realize that God's forgiveness then is our example. This thing of forgiveness and the way God does it, He becomes our example. If you're having a hard time forgetting someone, here's what I think I would do if I were you. And I really mean this. There are people in here, you call it grudges. There are people in here, you've been miserable for years over something that happened a long, long time ago. You've not forgiven like you should. Here's what I'd do. If you're having a hard time forgiving someone, I'd sit down, I'd get me some paper, and I would list all the sins for which God has forgiven you. Now, I'm not sure your memory's going to be adequate. Get a lot of paper, an awful lot, and you just start listening. Every act of pride, every scriptural disobedience, oh, and I might add, I put a great big one in there for all the things you did. You didn't even know they were wrong, but they were still wrong. Every lie, every lust, every disobedience, every ingratitude, list them. And just keep listing. And then keep listing and keep listing. Lots of paper. It's going to take a long time. When you get your entire list of everything that God has forgiven you about, then I want you to take and put your husband's name down, or your wife's name down, or your aunt's name down, or your old friend's name down, and I want you to list all the sins that they've committed against you, and let's see how your list with God and their list with you compare. And there's not going to be any comparison. And what did God forgive you of? So you say, God, I don't want to be like you in this area. We're supposed to be like Him in all areas. He is our example. See, if God can forgive you of your innumerable sins, then why can't you forgive another human being of probably a list that could be numbered? You know what God does? He forgives, and He forgives. And He forgives, and He forgives, and He forgives. Hey, did you know that everyone in here, you're to walk in the Spirit? You say how often? Every second of every day. There are 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day. Let's figure it out. I want some of you to calculate it. You walk in the Spirit today? How many seconds did you not walk in the Spirit? I want you to list them all. Do you realize how far we fall short in regard to what we're supposed to be for God? Well, man, if we fall that far short, why is it if God can forgive you and I, we can't forgive somebody else of what to God would be minuscule or little things? Did you know this? Let me ask you a question. Does God forgive what you did in your past? Yes or no? Yes. Does God forgive what you've done in your present? Yes or no? Huh. Does God forgive what you're going to do in the future? Yeah. He's got you covered, doesn't He? Start to finish. And that's amazing. Well, what was the point? The point is we are to follow God's example of how to live. So, forgiveness, somebody hurt you. They did. They were wrong. They did you wrong. And a little part of forgiveness is going ahead and taking it and saying, okay, I was done wrong, but I want to forgive because my relationship and love for you is greater than the hurt that I just suffered. That's what Jesus did for you. And then we're to follow his example, which is past, present, and future forgiveness. In other words, you develop a mindset that says, I'll forgive everybody of everything from now on. Now, you'll fall off the wagon, but you got to get it together right away. You know what I want, Brother Buck? I want so badly, I want to be this 95-year-old preacher with gray hair right now. I've got the gray hair, but I'm not 95. I want to be this 95-year-old preacher that's been at it for 60 and 70 years, and I'm still happy, and I'm still enjoying it, and I'm not mad at everybody all the time, and I'm not vengeful and hateful. Some of you are going to be miserable when you get old. You're going to be miserable. You ever been to a nursing home where they hate everybody that walks into their room, and everybody's their enemy, and they can't stand anybody? Some of you, you're on your way. You're on your way. Forgiveness, the way God did it, it is the way he is. It's not just an act that he kicks in gear every once in a while. God is past, present, future. Cover the whole gauntlet in forgiveness. I've got to go on. Number three. To forgive, we must realize, and oh boy, this attitude is going to help you if you'll just take it. We must realize that people are broken. People are broken. Folks, when people hurt you, sin damages people. You say, they sinned against me. Right. They're a sinner. Sin has damaged them. When someone criticizes me, here's what I do. I right away in my brain, I say, there's something broken here. And I'm not saying that in a belittling, vicious way. Someone criticizes me and I say, well, they're broken. And I like fixing broken things. If someone hurt you, I think they're broken. My wife and I, we have for a long, long time, we have a love seat that we sit in. And it's just very special place. Our love seat, we sit in it. We hold hands in it. We both will get a sweet tea and we'll just sit there and talk. And well, our love seat broke down. And when it broke down, it wouldn't let me sit comfortably anymore. Matter of fact, it was quite uncomfortable when that stupid thing broke. When it broke, though, I did not say to my love seat, I'll get you back. I'll destroy you. I'll hurt you. Hey, love seat, I'll make you uncomfortable. Hey, what'd you do? Tried to figure out what it'd take to fix it. Why? So me and the love seat could be comfortable together again. That's what forgiveness is. Someone hurt you. Just the fact that they hurt you means there's something broken. Now, you can try to destroy what's broken, or you can love what's broken and see if there's something you could do to help fix it. And part of the fixing it is the thing called forgiveness. Can you forgive so you and someone can be comfortable around each other again? There's some of you, you're so distant from some family members because you just can't forgive. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. No, I don't. Whatever they did to you, if it was wrong and it was sin, and your pastor hates sin, and I don't want you hurt. I'm not for hurting people. But you know something? You're hurting yourself and others when you don't forgive. So what makes you different than them? You've done something that's hurtful. Whoever hurt you is obviously broken. Broken things malfunction. You don't have to hate something that's broken. And I don't say it to be sarcastic or belittling or mean. I've had people attack me. Most of the time, when people attack me, I defend the attacker. And I say, they just had a rough time. Something's going wrong with them. And I think they're hurting themselves. But don't forget this, folks. Not only are they broken, you're broken too. What right does a broken chair have to criticize a broken chair? You know what? My love seat, my half broke. I don't know why. Probably when I was gone, Mrs. Owens was jumping on my half or something. But my half of the love seat broke. And the way our love seat works, it's kind of two independent recliners. And really, it's fantastic. Yeah, if you don't have one, you need to get one. You say, well, I don't have a husband or wife. Get one of those. Get you a love seat. Get you a poodle, whatever turns you on. But my half of the love seat broke. Her half did not. Do you know that her half did not hate my half because it was broken? But you and I, you take two human beings, someone's broken, because of it, it's uncomfortable, and things are not working out right, and you as a human being can hate them that they're broken. And you know, you might not be broken in the same area in which they're broken, but you're broken in some area. And it might not be that you hurt somebody like they hurt you, but I'll guarantee you, you hurt somebody in another area. And remember this, if you won't forgive, that may be the area in which you're broken. But everybody's broken. I've always believed this. You all do realize I'm not, Brother Edwards is not my enemy, and I'm not Brother Edwards' enemy. I really do believe this. The enemies that I have that have attacked me, I really don't think that's what it's all about. I'll tell you what I think it's all about. I think it's all about a devil who influences people to hurt each other. And the devil stays on the perimeter, and we fight like cats and dogs, and the devil's the one that's behind it. And so what I think is that person that the devil influenced to hurt me, I believe the devil just hurt them. He's hurting them. He's messing up their life. And as a part of it, I get shortchanged. But when you all get to heaven, you're going to realize something. While the human race was angry at the human race, there is a devil. And he does do wrong, and he's the one that's behind all evil and hatred. So when people do wrong, I immediately say they're hurting, they're broken. That makes it far easier to forgive. Far easier. I've got to move on. Next. Number four. We've got to be sensitive to the burdens of the ones who have hurt us. Sensitive to their burden. Here's what you do. Somebody hurts you. Why don't you ask yourself, have they had a rough day? I wonder what their life is like right now. Think of the load that they carry. Take your eyes off of your hurt and look at what might they be going through right now that caused them to hurt you. A preacher in a distant city had criticized me, and actually it attacked me some. I didn't let it fester at all. I asked myself, I said, I wonder what that guy's going through. And I knew somebody that attended his church, and I was preaching somewhere, and that somebody came up to me and said, hey, pray for our church. We're really going through it right now. And I thought, that man that was unkind toward me is going through a battle right now. You all ever have a bad day and take it out on your husband? Take it out on your wife? Take it out on your kids? You've done that? Is it possible then that the person that hurt you was having a bad day and was as unjust taking it out on you as you were when you took it out on your wife? Or took it out on your husband? Or took it out on your brother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or a workmate? Is it possible that they too could have had a bad day? Or are you the only one that can have a bad day and lose it and hurt someone? Well, I guess we're all capable, huh? So I realized this pastor was going through a heartache. He had attacked me. Usually when they attack me, it's not real little. It gets pretty big. They talk bad about me all across the nation. Okay. But you know, I did this. I sent, actually him and his wife were going through a terrible time. In my heart, I said, that guy's hurting. He's going through a tough time. Maybe he took a shot at me when his emotions and his adrenaline was high while he was in pain. I sent him a gift. I sent flowers to their home. I did not do it in a smart aleck way. I put on the note, I realize you're going through a difficult time. I want you to know that I love you and that I am your friend. And I hope things get better for you. Now, the guy just attacked me. But I didn't see him as an immediate enemy. I didn't put my dukes up. I wasn't going to kill him. I wasn't going to try to ruin him. I wasn't going to act like him. I thought, he's hurting. He's broken. He's going through something. He had a bad day. And anyway, if you hurt me, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're going to have to work really hard to convince me that you're being evil toward me. And nobody really ever gets that. I'm not usually convinced of that. I am always going to leave on reserve the possibility of error on the part of another human being. Listen, Abraham Lincoln said, my heart has not room for the memory of a wrong. Do you know that it's not Christ-like to be forgiven? Jesus didn't need to be forgiven. It's only Christ-like to forgive. Get this. A survey found that men lose their tempers on average 6 times a week. Some of you are above average. So men, on average, lose their temper 6 times a week. Women, on average, lose their tempers 3 times a week. And again, this is just an average. The difference between men and women, men get mad at circumstances. Women get mad at people. You have a flat tire. A man kicks the car. A woman has a flat tire. She wants to kick the man. You idiot! This happened to me because of you! That's why on the playground, 2 boys can get in a fight. They can make up and be playing on the same baseball team within 5 minutes. 2 women can get in a fight on the playground, and 50 years later, they still don't like each other. You laugh, but I prophesy at this moment. Hey, listen, stop and think of how much pressure maybe this person's under. Stop and pray for their heavy responsibility or what they're going through. Hey, listen, somebody hurt you, and I'm saying God wants you to forgive them. Ask yourself this question. Did somebody hurt them? Somebody hurt them, and that knee-jerk reaction. My dog, Spot, we lived near the stockyards when I was growing up. You could throw a baseball from my house to the stockyards where they transported and kept all the hogs and the cows. It wasn't a good day in the summer when the windows were open at our house and the wind was blowing our way. But my dog, Spot, every once in a while would want to run out into our road when the big trucks hauling the cattle and the pigs were coming through. You say why? I don't know why, but she did. One day she ran out into the street and a truck hit her. Boy, old Spot was just crying to beat the band, ran back across our yard, and Spot ran up underneath my dad's workbench. Well, I watched Spot get hit. Mom come a-running because I was now crying because Spot was crying, and Spot had run into our garage and scooted way up underneath the workbench. And I got down. I started crawling toward that workbench, and Mom said, whoa, whoa, son, you can't do that. I said, Mom, Spot's hurt. And Mom said, Spot's hurt. If you stick your hand in there, I'll have to take both of you to the vet. Because with Spot hurt as bad as what she is, she may respond by biting you. That doesn't mean Spot doesn't love you. She's in so much pain, she'll strike out at you. I've watched the human race. Somebody that's hurting bad enough may strike out at someone, and that doesn't mean that they're trying to destroy or hurt. I know there are evil people. I know it exists. But stop and think, have they been hurt? Let me tell you something else. Maybe they're not well. Now, so some of you know, not being well does not give you the right to be a grump and a grouch and mean and violent and everything else. But when somebody's not well, sometimes they say and do things that maybe had they been a little better physically, they might not have done. You say, why are you saying all this? Because when you hurt me, I want to forgive you, and I'm going to come up with every reason under the sun to do it. I want to realize there's a devil behind it and that you're broken and maybe you had a bad day. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe somebody hurt you. I don't immediately go to the fact that you hurt me, now I'll get you. And if you think that way, you've had to work long and hard to develop that nasty of an attitude toward people. Folks, it's like this. It's forgive or self-destruct. You say, how often? Well, he said 490 times. I've got to hurry, and I've got another point. I'll make it short. Number five, you must forgive the way you would want forgiven. Have you ever heard of the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think if we would practice forgiveness on the premise of that golden rule, forgive others the way you'd like to be forgiven. Now, how many of your sins against God did you want to be forgiven of when it came to salvation? All of them? Or were you going for half? You went for all, didn't you? You loved it. He's going to forgive you of everything. You said, I'll take it. What's this cost? It costs somebody else, not the perpetrator. But forgive the way you'd want to be forgiven. Did you know that even the cults have the golden rule concept? Socrates said, do not do to others what would anger you if done by others to you. Buddhism says, hurt not others in ways you yourself would find hurtful. The Hindus say, do not unto others which would cause pain if done to you. You say, well, preacher, I'm glad you're preaching on forgiveness. I know someone who won't forgive me. You missed it. You missed it. You should be concentrating on your forgiving. You're forgiving others. Forgive as you'd want to be forgiven. Forgive as you'd want your child forgiven. Forgive as you won't want Jesus to forgive you. Do you want people to hate you and to not forgive you? Say no. Well, then you'll need to forgive them. You want people to seek revenge against you? You want people to be bitter with you? You want people to be unreasonable with you? You want people to avoid you and give you the cold shoulder? You say, I don't want any of that. Then don't do that to anybody else. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Look, forgive. Say, why? That's what you want. You want to receive it, don't you? We love being forgiven. When you get pulled over by the police officer, if he says to you, you know what, I'll let this go. You go, yeah, you love when you get forgiven. If you owed somebody $100 and they came to you and said, I'll tell you what, let's just forget about it. You say, okay, that won't be hard. Well, then why don't you learn how to do the same thing? We're very good at receiving. We're a little anemic when it comes to giving it. Do you want to reap what you've sown in regard to forgiveness with God, with man? I promise you, folks, this truth will salvage and strengthen your relationships in life. If you don't get this, you won't do well in marriage. If you don't get this, you won't do well at work. You won't do well with your parents, with your brothers, with your sisters. If you don't get this in the ministry, you'll have to stay on the parameter with everyone. Because you just wear your feelings on your cuff, and every time you're hurt, it just piles up, and you can't get along with anybody. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Peter said, Lord, wonder if I'll forgive a guy 7 times. What do you think of that? I'm somebody. And Jesus said, no, take 70 times 7. And I don't know how Peter responded. Probably at first Peter said, "Oh, brother, why'd I ask?" Forgiveness. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you need to forgive somebody? I'm not telling you need to tell them they were right. I'm not telling you that you need to agree with what they did. I'm just telling you need to decide that you're going to love them, and even if you had to suffer some pain, which you did, accept it and say, "Okay, I got hurt. But I love you, and I want to reconcile the relationship." That's what God did for you. Who here would say, "Pastor, God has really touched my heart and taught me something this evening that I think will help my life"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put your hands down. I believe there's some of you that you probably need a bigger dose of this than others. Maybe somebody ought to come to the altar tonight and get on your knees and say, "You know what? I need to forgive someone who are you at odds with." I'm not saying you ought to go be their best friend. I'm not telling you you need to go spend a million hours with them. I'm not. But some of you just need to get it off of your mind, chest, conscience. Get it over with and say, I'm going to forget about this. It's done. If you need the altar will be open. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Relationships. Lesson number 24, your relationship with people who hurt you, or forgiveness. Forgiveness. I'll forgive them if they'll crawl to me in humility. Well, I think you might have to rise above that attitude. Ushers that are available, if you will make sure that you have the prayer bulletins, we are going to distribute those to the people that could use them. Hey, if you got hurt, I am sorry. I don't condone that. I don't want that. I don't want you to be hurt. But don't make it worse by not forgiving. The only person you're sure to hurt when you don't forgive is you. You could say, "Well, I won't forgive them and that'll make them lose sleep at night." No, not necessarily. So if I don't forgive them, they'll be miserable. Well, not necessarily. But it sure will eat at you. This is the last time through the song.